Wolves in sheep's clothing who weaponize and monetize their prey. We must beware of the modern church wolves in sheep's clothing, saints. For example, church membership, as is perpetrated today, was never supposed to be whatsoever. We see it nowhere found in the Holy Scriptures. Each of his people are members of his one body, the church. Real fellowship and assembling, getting together with the body of Christ, is biblical. And yet, as has always been the case, sinful men use it to exploit those who gather to worship the Lord. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus with the Pharisees and how Jesus flipped the tables and he cracked the whip and he cleansed the temple. John 2 and Matthew 21. We've got two explosive posts on that topic. If you look up the word table in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, you might recall how Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables. He flipped them of the money changers, those who make merchandise of the people. Notice the words, the money changers. That's exactly what most men in ministry are all about. They're there to increase and grow their nickels, noses, and numbers and be money changers, those who make merchandise of the people. They don't watch for your souls and purely, consistently preach the Word of God to you, as we're told, and as part of being an elder. Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17, those are the two things we need to look for. Are they truly watching for your soul? And are they preaching nothing but the pure word of God to you and equipping you to do the work of the ministry? Otherwise, if they aren't, they're false. So Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats. So we see that Jesus unseated these vile deceivers, these greedy wolves. So Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. You're nothing but a bunch of thieves, pretending to represent me. A number of years ago, I was invited to go to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which happens every year. And it's a big venue with a lot of money changers. That's all it is. They're just planning on how to steal more money from the people, how to make merchandise of the people. It's not about God. I went to a couple of the breakout sessions and was shocked. In fact, had to rebuke a whole table that I sat at. I can't remember the reason why, but it was all about money changing and growing your numbers. It wasn't about Christ. Remember, Jesus is the only one who can add to his church. He's the only one that can save and sanctify anyone. And we read that in the book of Acts several times, where the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, in the book of Acts. So it continues, Matthew 21, 12 through 17, and the blind and the lame came to him, Jesus, now that he cleansed the temple, and he healed them. So we see that the power of God and the presence of God were restored after the false prophets were expelled, were vanquished, were eliminated. There was now purity and there was now power. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw, this is after Jesus began to heal the people that were in need. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying in the temple, amen, praise was restored. Hosanna. They were saying Hosanna to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. The religious were sore displeased. Think about that. We have people like that today. There's no new thing under the sun. The only use they have for having a church building and setting it up where everybody faces them and they get up there and they're the conductor and they control the goal. They collect and control all the goal. They get sore displeased when the purity begins to be found in true disciples of Jesus. When the wickedness and the money changers are purged, these people get very upset, like these scribes and Pharisees here, who were sore displeased. That means they were extremely upset. And said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany and lodged there. So we see the cleansing of the temple at the beginning and the end of Jesus' ministry. It's going to be John 2 and Matthew 21. And this demonstrates to us the zeal that God demands and requires for holiness among his people. And again, as I mentioned earlier, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, but there were false prophets also among the people, Peter says, even as there shall be, not maybe, but definitively shall be false teachers and false prophets among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies. They're teaching false doctrine, such as eternal security, which is damning the souls of millions who think they're saved, but they're not enduring to the end. They're not the spotless bride that Jesus said he's coming back for in the end of Ephesians 5. Even denying, Peter says, the Lord that bought them. They were once bought with the blood. That can't be dismissed here. It's irrefutable. And bring upon themselves by their own rebellion, because we're all going to reap what we sow, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious, their damnable ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, they never really repented. And if they did, they have since backslidden. And through covetousness, they're not denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Jesus. They're not crucified with Jesus. And that's why you're never going to hear them preach the crucified life, which Jesus said, you're not following him unless you are living a crucified life. Luke 9:23 and 24, etc. You must be crucified with Christ. In fact, Galatians 5:24 says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you're not crucifying the flesh with the affections and lusts, including the lust of covetousness, you, my friend, are a lost soul. That's Galatians 5:24. I want you to memorize it. And through covetousness, 2 Peter 2:3, shall they, what's their motivation? What's in their heart? Covetousness. And the Bible says, a covetous man who is an idolater hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5:3-7. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or fictitious words make merchandise of you, whose judgment, notice their judgment, God's going to judge them, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. They're going to be damned. If you've ever wondered whether or not false prophets and false teachers are going to be damned, you need not wonder anymore. 2 Peter 2:1-3 tells us that false teachers and false prophets who are full of covetousness and they're making merchandise of the people, their damnation, they're going to hell, slumbereth not. That's 2 Peter 2:1-3. Now, we're talking about how wolves in sheep's clothing in our day, the same as those of old, weaponize and monetize the people for their own self-serving agenda and greed. Assembling as believers is commanded by God, and yet not in order for the sheep of Christ's pasture to be exploited by the devouring wolves. We've been warned about on numerous occasions in the Bible. Jesus warned to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening or devouring wolves. When God's people gather, when they assemble to glorify God, it is to be edified in Christ, to be richly blessed as we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and we take care of one another. We pray for, we fellowship with others. A sister, on that note, a sister named Veronica said this, if you go to the brick and mortar buildings and you don't give your money, then you're nobody to them. I was out searching for a place where I could stay and hear the true gospel, but that's not happening in these brick and mortar buildings. These people need to truly repent, unquote, Veronica. So she's telling on these animals, these wolves, these devils, these false teachers and false prophets. They're the same today, as she's pointing out, as they were in Jesus's day. And as we read in 2 Peter 2, how they are continuing to make merchandise of the people. It's not going to be changed. It's not going to stop until Jesus returns. Notice church membership is just another attempt to lure, to seduce, to cause people to misplace their faith and allegiance and identity away from Christ and in their so-called community of believers. And mere human leaders, which is all horizontal. It's not vertical. Your identity, if you're born again, you're a born-again disciple of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is your identity. Primarily and by divine priority. Beloved of God, you are bought with the very precious blood of Jesus Christ, the price of the blood of Christ. You are bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 7:23, the next chapter, he says, ye are bought with a price, be ye not the servants of men. The highest price, the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, was paid by the Son of God alone to purchase you with his own life blood, his precious blood, to himself and the Father. He is your identity. Jesus Christ is eternal life, 1 John 5:20 and 21, and he is your identity. He's your Savior, your sanctifier, and your identity. And thereafter, that fact, his true body, the remnant body of Christ, are your beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, whom you are to fellowship with every day. They are crucified with Christ perpetually. Your identity and your fellowship is not to be with counterfeit churchgoers and members
and the false teachers who are misleading them.
We should all memorize Galatians 6:14, where Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So, for more information from Scripture, in Scripture, on the body of Christ and your identity with Christ and his body, I want to encourage you to memorize these references, and more than that, go and read each of these four chapters I'm going to give you here. Maybe read one each morning this week and next week. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 2, and chapter 4. God's word is your final divine authority, not mere men or organizations of mere men. A sister named Bella said this. She says, concerning exposing wolves in sheep's clothing and church membership and all of the falsity of the modern church, she says, thank you for exposing this. I used to attend an Assembly of God here in Olympia, I guess that's Washington, and I found it to be false. After a couple of years, my eyes were opened, and I left because a lot of it was New Apostolic Reformation, false teaching, or something similar to that. They were just off. And at one point, they had a homosexual male, a sodomite, on the platform scolding the church for how they are mean and nasty to sodomites because they think they're better than them. She finishes, I was attacked for forsaking the assembling and received other statements urging me to come back so I wouldn't be sinning. Unquote, Bella. Interesting. Anyone trying to get you, friends, to become a member of their church is seeking to monetize you, to build a church business at your personal expense. They are the wolves that we're talking about here who weaponize and they monetize. They do it all over social media. They will tell you what you want to hear so that they can gain a big following and they get paid by doing so. Paul warned that he said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, 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 rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. People that claim to be saved, they have a form of godliness, chapter 3, verse 5, same book, 2 Timothy. He says here, they're not going to be enduring sound doctrine, which means they're not going to endure. They're not going to hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine. But after their own lust, there it is again, they will not repent. They have not repented, they're not crucified with Christ, and their hearts are full of lust for the things of this world. And the Bible says, if any man love this world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. So he says, for the time will come, that's the hour we live in, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they're unrepentant, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, the picture being painted here is that they will go and sit under people that are telling them anything but the original gospel, which begins with the command, the divine command to repent, to deny or disown yourself, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. That means to live the crucified life, Romans 6. And then he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, he tells Timothy, in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, let me ask you something. Is your pastor preaching the word, the pure word of God, unapologetically, with all longsuffering and doctrine and rebuke, as we read in verse 2? Is he doing the work of an evangelist? Is he ministering to lost souls every day? If not, he's not making full proof of his ministry. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to take a look at that. This is how you know who you are to submit to. And you're going to find it very hard to find anybody like this. So you probably just need to submit to God. That's for sure anyway. That's first and foremost. But if you're just running around recklessly trying to find somebody to submit to that claims to be a pastor and he doesn't fit the bill, he doesn't have the characteristics and fruit of a pastor, he's not preaching the whole Word of God constantly from the King James Bible, he's not reproving and rebuking, he's not exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine, and he's not doing the work of an evangelist, that is not a man of God.
No, he's a hireling wolf. And instead of submitting to him, you should be marking him as a false teacher who is misleading others and making merchandise of the people. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 16 says that it's the leaders of this people that cause them to err or to go into error, and they that are led of them or misled of them are destroyed. These are the blind leading the blind into the ditch of deception and ultimately eternal damnation.
Doesn't matter how big his building is, how big his following is, how well he can get behind a pulpit and give a message. Those aren't the qualifications of a true God-fearing elder. So the reason why many professing Christians do not see the things we are seeing in the Word today in this message is that they are not in God's Word for themselves. Notice 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself. You do it. It's a command of God for you to do personally. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth, it takes work. The first thing you do every morning should be seeking God in prayer and in the Word. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. The only way we can rightly divide the word of truth and not be deceived by the many false prophets Jesus said would deceive many is to study to show ourselves approved unto God so that we will not stand ashamed in the end because we walk according to the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth, letting the Word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Like the Berean saints who took Paul and they took his word that he was preaching and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were true or false. Acts 17:10-11. Someone has noted that just because a person has left your church doesn't mean they left God. Who they are in Christ is not determined by their place on your pew. Unquote. Amen. Sister Karen Cochran says, this church membership topic riles me up. Many judge us because her and her husband, Tom, because they got kicked out of their last local church because they were reading scriptures on the cross. Wow. It angered the other elders. Wow. Many judge us, she says, because we don't go to church. I want nothing to do with how apostate they have become. Most are sinful and in willful sin and could care less. They're just church members, in other words. Karen Cochran finishes, she said, Jesus is not there, unquote. Also, one believer shared the following. She said, partnership as defined, she's speaking about local church membership in part, she says, partnership as defined by most ministries today is basically you send them a check every month and they send you a letter with some scriptures. Very sad. However, I take refuge in the scriptures, 1 Peter 4:17, that judgment must begin and it is beginning and is underway in the house of God or that which claims to be serving the Lord. And we saw what Jesus did in the temple, and that was an absolute overthrow of those wicked wolves who were making merchandise of the people. So this sister continues, it's not a political problem. It's a spiritual problem. During the scandemic, for example, I suggested we, at the church she was going to back then, give groceries to those who needed them. Have a cookout and burgers and hot dogs. Offer healing to those who needed it. Fellowship among the people. The church had a wonderful full circle drive so the people could pull in, we'd fill their trunk with groceries, etc. I was told no, definitely a hard no. I offered to handle all of it, to pay for it. Still, they said no. The pastor wanted to remain shut down. He's a false teacher. And so is every fraud who closed down their fellowship, quote unquote, for this scamdemic. They took orders from the government and rejected God by doing so. if you're still going to a church that changed their ways and did the 6-foot rule and required or even wore masks for whatever reason and stifled meeting together, you are going to a false church with a false pastor. I hope you tell him I said that. So she said, I went ahead and did it all from my own home. I got a Christian group to sing. We preached the word, fed the people, prayed for anyone who wanted it. Quitting should never be a part of our vocabulary, like these local churches did, including the ones she used to go to. The religious manipulation is off the charts. Filling seats and manipulating people for financial gain is repulsive, unquote, Sister Charlotte. Saints, the fact that most brick-and-mortar church-building-based churches are not run biblically in no way negates the need for essential, real Bible fellowship. According to the scriptures, to this point, our brother in Christ, Peter, says people want faith community even if there is church membership and mandatory tithing. People want social life with other believers. It's safe, yet I'm against church buildings, but I believe in accountability one to another in the body of Christ, unquote. So God exposed these fake churches during the pandemic and fake Christians who complied. Notice what Peter says in Acts 5:29, when the saints were being persecuted for Christ, for their witness of Christ. He said, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Again, that's Acts 5:29. Galatians 1:10, if I therefore please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. So these false churches had already sold the Savior down the river for the state. They listened to the command of the state, the so-called mandates, which only had power because they cowered out and complied. So they sold the Savior down the river, traded him in for the state. Actually, they did that a long time ago when they signed up for a 501c3, which is a contract with lots of small print. That print they chose to enter into, those conditions. And it makes these so-called churches government churches or state churches. As we saw with the scamdemic, the state tells you what to preach, where you can preach, and when you can preach. But the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Granted, I highly recommend you find a home fellowship or fellowship with other saints, doesn't matter where it is, and don't go to a church building. But they further prove that they're not of God because they stopped fellowshipping for the state. They obeyed the state and they signed up for a 501c3, which tells them what they can preach, where they can preach, and when they can preach. Myself, I walked into a church during this scandemic one time and I was absolutely shocked at all the people wearing masks and the 6-foot satanic ceremony ritual rule. I departed. It's a sickening scene to see the compromise. So as we close, saints, remember that Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. You don't need a church building or gathering in a building to be filled. You can see God right where you are. You can hunger and thirst. In fact, most people that go to these churches, 99.9999% of them have no hunger for God. They do not hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they are not being filled, and they are not doing the Great Commission that Jesus' remnant true body is doing, which means they're not enduring to the end, and they're not right with God. Where in that passage in Matthew 24, he ends it by saying, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And who is preaching that gospel? It's the remnant body of Christ. Just like the early church, when persecution hit Jerusalem, the saints went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't go everywhere to new towns and cities and join a church. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. Your pastor, if you're part of one of these churches, I can tell you, your pastor's not even preaching the gospel to the lost in your own town. He could care less. That alone tells you he's not only not qualified, he's a false teacher and a false prophet. The Bible tells us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and that the elders of the body of Christ are to make full proof of their ministry by doing what? Doing the work of an evangelist. 2 Timothy 4:2-5. Brother Matt McMillan says the following, being a Christian isn't about making a weekly trip to a so-called church building. No, it's about becoming the church, the body of Christ, an actual place where Jesus lives, unquote. So, as we close, let's ask ourselves, am I a good church member? Am I a true disciple of Christ? wolves in sheep's clothing can be known in that they don't get their prey, their understudies, in the word for themselves. Going to be entertained on Sunday mornings as what some people call church does not replace daily Bible reading and prayer and seeking the Lord with all of your heart, denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. Anyone not in God's word and living a life of prayer every day as they seek the Lord's face fervently has told the Lord that he is not important to them and they will not make it. They are like the five foolish virgins who have run out of oil, and the door into eternal glory is going to be shut in their face. Remember, saints, there is no work, no thing, nothing transpiring on the earth more important than the work of the Lord's gospel, which at the end of each of the four gospels, Jesus gave us this commission. And if you're not doing it, you are not walking in the will of God. It doesn't matter what else you're doing. You have snubbed your nose at the Savior who came and died for the sins of the world and wants to save others. So many things are vying for our affection. Read Luke 21, Colossians 3. Jesus is coming. And as a summation in this message, let's finish with this. The instruction of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is from God, and yet never intended to give license to mere men to build their own kingdoms, to exploit and to use the people for their own self-serving and greedy agenda, or greed-driven agenda. Yes, there are elders ordained in Christ's body, and they are to feed the flock of God, John 21, 15 through 17, 1 Peter 5. They are to warn the saints on a consistent basis, as did Jesus and the apostles, and they are to teach the body of Christ, the Word of God. Colossians 1, 28, preach, warn, teach, PWT. True elders are preaching, warning, and teaching the Bible. They are also to teach discernment, Ezekiel 44, 23. The true disciples of Christ, the true elders, will teach the people of God the difference between the holy and the profane. This can be in a regular meeting place and time. That's not a sin in and of itself. The sin comes in when we don't see biblically stated things being accomplished and being done in those meetings.
And this is how we know that it's become something different or other than about Christ. It's about the mere men and the organizations and their agenda, and not God's agenda to teach, to warn, to ground, to root the disciples of Jesus in the Word of God, to love, to worship, and to fear and obey God, and also to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. That's what elders do, if they're true elders and not false prophets. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12.
And that's how we know those are false shepherds. Jeremiah 23, read it. And this would involve most local brick and mortar based so-called churches to day. The truth is self-evident. Fruit. Jesus said you will know them by their fruit. Matthew 7, 16 and 20. Not all, but the vast majority of local churches are absolutely apostate, as the Bible foretold they would be in this last hour. There is no blood of Jesus being taught. There is very little or any cross or crucified life teachings from the Bible. There's no judgment to come being taught. They don't preach on sin from the, they don't preach from the King James Bible. They use some counterfeit fake Bible. They're not preaching repentance. Most of the fake Bibles, if not all of them, have at least partially stripped the command of God, the essential of repentance. They're not preaching holiness and the absolute necessity of personal holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, 14. They're not preaching to be ready for the return of Christ, to purify your life, 1 John 3, 3. Everyone that has the hope of the return of Jesus in his heart is purifying himself. How about Revelation 19, 7 through 10? The body of Christ making herself ready, ridding herself of any blemish of sin from her garments.
Clearly, this is
hypocrisy and apostasy. Fellowship, as defined by the Word of God, is essential, not church attendance, not joining the little church community and signing up for their membership. That's absolutely not biblical. That's a way they corral you so they can steal your money and make you feel obligated to pay the monthly dues to the fraternal order or the country club. Saints, we do not need these things. Rid yourself of them. Denounce them. Call that filthy church this week. after you repent and sever the tie. It is affecting you spiritually, whether you realize it or not. The headquarters of the true saint of Christ and the true remnant body of Christ is where? Jeremiah 17:12 tells us exactly where it is. It says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our refuge. Also, the throne of grace, Paul speaks about in Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16. And in chapter 7, 24 through 26 of Hebrews, he speaks about our great intercessor. We're anchored at and sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ and with Christ and his true body in the book of Ephesians. That doesn't mean that attending a local fellowship weekly is wrong, and yet, is it real fellowship? You might need to listen to this message several times and go study the scriptures and also share this with another professing Christian. We must examine the fruit. Jesus commanded us to examine the fruit, to know them by the fruit. Know means to discern. We must ask, am I growing in the grace of Christ? Am I obeying the Lord every day? Denying self, taking up the cross and following Jesus. Evangelizing the lost, building up the body of Christ. Am I growing to know him? John 17:3, Jesus said, this is life eternal. This is the whole reason that Jesus came, that they might know thee, Father, and know me, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do I live a repented life, a crucified life? Do I confess all sin when needed? Is the extent of my fellowship with the Lord going to church? Do I care for and help the body of Christ? Do I evangelize the lost, etc.? The professing church has largely missed Hebrews 10:24, which it speaks about fellowship and not ceasing the fellowship with the body of Christ, the members of the body of Christ, which is not defined, saints, by that little building you go to on Sunday morning. Come out from among them, be ye separate. Come out of Babylon, come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4. Fellowshipping, assembling with the body of Christ is essential. It's commanded of God, and that would be according to the scripture as it defines fellowship, such as at the end of Acts 2, when the church was born. Contrast that with the modern church. Notice there were four simple elements, and there was no hierarchy, there was no bureaucracy as we see today with all of these fake pastors and how they set up their church business, etc. Notice it says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's the word of God, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, communion and eating together, and in prayers. Four simple things. The word of God, the apostles' doctrine, that's the doctrine Jesus gave the apostles whom they gave to us, which we now have on record in the scriptures. So they continued steadfastly in what? Joining the church? No. Becoming a member? No. They were already a member of the church by the blood of Jesus that bought them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And then in verse 46 and 47, they continuing daily, not weekly, with one accord in the temple, so they were still in the temple partially, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And that singleness of heart was focused on Christ and his body, not joining a church. That's not biblical. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord, not men, but the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So God adds to his church. Men add to their own churches because they're building their own church business. Amen. Heavenly Father, please circumcise our hearts and teach us your ways. Your word is your will and your ways. Do your work in us, O God. Multiply your grace and unite our hearts to fear thy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or
Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world, and may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.